You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking about finding your life's purpose. I'm going to share two simple steps to take to find yours in case you haven't figured it out yet. So when it comes to life purpose, I mean, some people are kind of uncomfortable with this topic, but I really believe that each of us is driven by an innate pursuit to create a life of meaning. Sometimes we're not consciously aware of this desire. Many people grow through life with the feeling that there must be more. Some are aware of the nudge and seek to fulfill the urge, while others push it away, choosing instead to feel that there's nothing they can do. We say, I can't do anything about that, or there's nothing special about me, or I'm just one human being. What difference could I make? Many people have the yearning to make a difference or know deep down that there's a purpose that they're not fulfilling, but they're unable to discern what that purpose is. I actually experienced this myself more than 10 years ago. It was probably over the course of a few years, but it really kind of ignited itself just over 10 years ago, before I launched my business. So I was a stay-at-home mom for a few years, and I loved being home with my two little boys, but I couldn't shake this overwhelming yearning. I knew to the core of my being that there was something I was born to do. I didn't know what it was. I just knew there was something. And at times I would feel anxious. What is it? When can I start? How can I figure it out? Let's just get going. I wanted to know. Oh, it was just really hurtful at times. And I wanted to begin, and I wanted the desire that grew in me to be fulfilled. But how could I begin a journey when I had no idea the destination I was aiming for? Often, as I rocked a sleeping baby, I would pop on the television and catch an episode of Oprah. She had this reoccurring segment, you know, kind of periodically called Use Your Life. Maybe you've seen it yourself. So she would invite guests on to share the stories of going from just a regular person to, you know, who was living their life, to someone who felt this huge passion and went out on a limb and had this tenacity and went out into the world and made a huge impact. And those segments became so painful for me. I didn't feel jealous of the people. I wasn't interested in doing what they had done, but I wanted that passion ignited in me, and I wanted to feel that tenacity and that sense of focus of just knowing, yes, this is it. I was interested in doing this unknown thing that I had been put on the earth to do. So not what they had done, but what I was supposed to do. And tears would just stream down my face as I watched, and I would just hold my breath so I didn't sob out loud. That's how painful it was. It was unbearable. But without a specific direction, you know, there was no action I could take. What in the heck was I going to do? So I just had to kind of sit with this yearning and this unknowing drive. You know, it was like getting ready for the start of a race, and you're in the, you know, you've got your feet in the, I don't know what you call it, but you know, you're down in position and ready to go, and you have all the fire and the anticipation, but you have no idea where you're supposed to go. Ugh, it was terrible. And maybe some of you are feeling that way now, or maybe there's just this little nudging, you know, so maybe it's not this huge yearning like I was having, but maybe it's just this little nudge, this silent kind of thing that's kind of in the back of your mind. Well, then at that time, I experienced a catalyst that got me evaluating, analyzing, and determining what it was that I was supposed to be doing. That catalyst was my marriage at the time was becoming more and more abusive. I started to create my exit strategy. And like I said, I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. I had no means of supporting my two boys and myself. So I had to create a plan. And I began to evaluate my strengths, my passions, my experiences. I started to create a mission. I am happy to report that out of that very difficult and challenging time, my coaching business was born. And I will tell you that I no longer have those unbearable yearnings. I'm certain, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that I'm doing the work that I was put on this earth to do. And it does feel awesome. I may not be 100% at the bullseye, but I'm in the zone. So I'm still constantly kind of tweaking, but I don't have that unbearable yearning anymore because I know I'm working towards it. I'm getting there. If you've had this yearning towards a goal unknown, I want to give you some steps to help you gain some clarity, to help you kind of get moving and to distinguish that yearning feeling. So it's a simple two-step process that I've shared with many of my clients experiencing this same thing since then. And I want to share it here with you now. So I believe that passion is the litmus test that tells us that we're heading in the right direction. So passion is also the fuel that generates tenacity and a single-minded focus. So passion is really important. Again, it gives us clues and it gives us that drive, that fuel to keep going once we have it figured out. I also believe that we're all given gifts to use in the service of others. You might already use these gifts as part of your vocation or maybe as a volunteer, or maybe you're not really using them right now, but you have them. Often we minimize our gifts. Because they come easily to us, we assume that other people can easily do what we do as well. And I often hear clients say, yeah, but that's no big deal. Everyone can do that. And to that I say, no, they can't. I mean, I know for me with my coaching, I didn't realize the innate abilities that I had to see people. I thought everyone kind of had this knowing that I have about why people do what they do and what drives them and when relationships go awry, you know, what's happening in communication. I actually, it's kind of weird, but my brain actually weaves together relationships and I get where people are coming from. And I also have this innate ability to, without judgment, see people through all their junk and their fears and all that stuff and see who they're really meant to be. And I can help them really identify and create self-awareness around what's standing in the way. So I can help them remove barriers to being who they were made to be and getting tenacious and busting through fears. And those are all innate gifts that I have. And I thought everyone had that knowing. I mean, I still remember years ago when, you know, my oldest son was just a little baby and his cousin was just 3 months older than him. And I remember my sister-in-law saying, like, I don't understand why she's doing that. And I remember thinking, how can you not know why your eight-month-old, you know, you don't understand why she's doing what she's doing? And I was like, oh, well, here's what she's thinking and here's what she's doing and here's why she would do that. See, I didn't know that I was using my gifts. I thought that it was just because I was a mom, but I had these innate gifts and I thought everyone had them. So I didn't think it was a big deal. I now know it is. So here's step one for trying to figure out if you don't already know what your strengths, your gifts are, here's how you start to go about figuring it out. And it might not be a sit down and do this in 10 minutes thing, but at least get started. So think about the activities that you love to do. How would you spend your time if you weren't making money? What are the things that you do for, you know, 8 hours and it feels like 10 or 15 minutes has gone by? You can just get really lost in it. Also think about the things that come really easily to you. Again, drop the assumption that because it came easily to you, it comes easily to everyone. It doesn't. Those are your gifts. So think about the things that are super easy for you, that there's just this knowing, like a thought pops in your head and you just know, like whatever it is, maybe it's about math or about decorating. You just have this sense about how colors would go together or how to arrange furniture. Maybe you're really, you know, visual that way. So it's just who you are and it feels really natural to do these things. It gives you energy. I also believe that, you know, we can't create more time, but we can create more energy, and we create more energy when we're in our gifts and we're using our strengths and we're doing what we love. So it's the kind of things that'll give you energy. Time passes again just so quickly. So start doing some brainstorming about the things that you love. So either pull out a blank sheet of paper, use a flip chart, use a Word document. It doesn't matter, but just start getting them down. Don't worry about having them look clean. Don't worry about organizing them or categorizing them or anything like that. And don't start thinking about, oh, well, I could never make money at that, or I could never, you know, do that full time, or I'd have to go to school to do that. This isn't necessarily about starting a business or changing careers. You know, it may have nothing to do with your vocation. So don't worry about any of that stuff, because what we do is we start putting boundaries around our creativity and our brainstorming by trying to apply logic too quickly. So, you know, and I'm also not suggesting that it's going to be a requirement for you to move to India and help orphans to fulfill your purpose. So don't worry about logistics, logic, or anything else. Just start creating lists, and you never know what you're going to come up with or what combinations you're going to see when you get done. So you may also want to ask the opinions of trusted advisors in your life. Ask them, what do you see in me that I might not be seeing in myself? What do you see that I might be really good at? That are you my unique abilities? Like, who am I? This was actually part of my process way back when, 10 years ago or so too. And I really found it helpful. During my research, I actually had 3 trusted advisors in the course of like a week and a half tell me that I should be a coach. Now, this was, you know, like I said, over 10 years ago, so maybe 11 years ago. And at that time, coaching, it still isn't huge, but it's a lot more people know about it now than back then. So I had never even heard the term coach. And so I decided I better explore this because, you know, 3 people who know me well have said, you know what, you should be a coach. So I went to the internet and started reading about it. And as soon as I read the first definition, I thought, oh my gosh, I've been accidentally doing this my entire life. You know, back in high school, even my friends all called me the Ann Landers of the school. So I'm kind of dating myself. I had motivational quotes all over my bedroom. I never let people say negative things about themselves in my presence. I mean, so even as like a, you know, an 8th grader, if someone said like, oh, I'm ugly or I don't like my teeth, I wouldn't let them do that. I would stop them and I would correct them. So, and I can hear stories of all kinds about people and respond without judgment. And, you know, like I said, I see relationships and the breakdown in communication. And I understand how it's happening and the filters that people are using and all that stuff. So it was like, oh my gosh, there's something out there that I didn't know existed. And if I hadn't done this brainstorm without, you know, if I had stopped myself early, I might not have even discovered this because it wasn't on my radar at all. I had never heard of coaching. So my trusted advisors saw something in me that I didn't know was unique. And they were able to attach my gifts to a professional opportunity that I didn't even know existed. So that was really, really cool. So if you don't have trusted advisors, make sure to listen to my episode number 11, where I share the specific characteristics that a trusted advisor should have. And there's a link on the show notes. Again, the show notes are always available at defeatthedrama.com. Go to the podcast site, click episodes and find this episode. So, but yeah, listen to that if you haven't already, if you're going to use trusted advisors for this. So try to really get at what are your gifts. That's the goal of this first step. So ask trusted advisors, have some contemplative time on your own to just write or type out, create some big lists of the stuff that you absolutely love to do. So it's how you would be spending your time, your gifts, the things, the tasks, right? And there might be pieces of bigger tasks. So maybe in your job right now, you love pieces of your job, but not all of it. So really dive down into the nitty gritty of specifically what are the specific tasks that you absolutely love to do and are great at. Okay, so that's step 1. Gifts are not the only variable though. So here's step 2. So the first one was, I believe that we're given gifts to use in the service of others. Step 2 is, I believe that each of us feels a call to action around different circumstances or different communities. So different circumstances will ignite this internal rising, that thought of how can something like this exist in the world, or someone needs to do something about this. And sometimes that someone might be you. So, and again, I'm not saying you got to run to India or Africa. That's not what this episode is about. It's about self-exploration and getting at what your innate desires are. So stop and think for a bit about times when you felt this call to action around a news story or a happening in the world, or maybe you saw a Facebook post or a friend shared an experience. You may have taken some action at the time, or maybe you wrote a check to support a cause, or maybe you just let the moment pass and move on to your normal daily activities. And I know a lot of us do that very often. You know, we're already so busy. We have this passing thought of, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. And we just kind of let it go and disappear. So I'm asking you to kind of just dig those back up and start to pay attention currently, but also look behind you, like in the past, what were some things that happened that really created that feeling? So that feeling that you, that rising is unique to you. So know you're not the only one in the world who feels a call to action around a certain cause or an incident, but not everyone has the same reaction that you do or that you did. And so it's your unique reaction. So look back through a lifetime and you'll likely see patterns to the instances where you felt incensed or concerned, and seek to find the patterns of populations and issues that cause that reaction. So for instance, one of my clients is drawn to concerns of the earth. So she speaks and posts about fracking constantly. She's monitoring the health of, you know, when oil spills happen and the health of our water and, You know, she's just consumed with the health of the earth. And I'm not asking you to be consumed, but that's her, you know, and that's her. She feels this really a call to action and a huge sadness when she hears about things happening to the earth. Others will feel a call to action when they hear stories of the elderly being taken advantage of, or when elders can't pay for their medicine, or maybe it's babies or drug addicts or puppies or horses or the solar system. Maybe it's students who don't have access to books or technology or malnourished puppies. I mean, it can be anything. So for me, I feel driven to help where relationships are struggling, or you might have guessed it, where there's drama overshadowing the goals inside of a business or a nonprofit. That drives me crazy. I feel incensed when entitled employees seek to avoid work. I feel empathy when leaders feel unable to make their visions happen, or where individuals struggle to find focus and tenacity. You know, when people aren't being able to be who they were made to be because there's too much fear and junk in the way. That's what really fires me up. And so I'm incensed when I see that there's struggles, and then I'm super, super joyful and happy when I'm able to see someone have a breakthrough and create something big and reach a big goal. So those are my clues to the area that I want to use my gifts. So my gifts were the way that I see people. And then I could use those gifts in a whole bunch of different areas. You know, I could help moms with their kids, or I could help kids in middle school, but I really do love working with leaders and helping them make the impact that they're, you know, excited to create. So I am super lucky that I'm using my gifts in the way that I feel called. It is a really good feeling. It feels way better than that dreaded sense of yearning that I used to feel when I wasn't doing this work. And I can tell you that I've now helped hundreds of individuals work through this same brainstorm. And I can think of not one instance where the combination of gifts and calls to action were duplicated. So again, maybe they had similar gifts to someone else, like real detail oriented, and they love numbers, but they're really excited to use those numbers in different ways. So, I've seen over and over the excitement and the passion ignite as people gain clarity around finding their gifts and finding where they're called to use them. So I hope this helps you. If you've been having that yearning feeling, that sense of there's something I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't know what it is, or man, I want to have a life of meaning, but I just don't have the tenacity because I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. So I really hope that these two simple steps, simple as in, you know, that it still will take time. So, but you know, brainstorming and just putting ideas together and talking to some trusted advisors, my hope is that you'll get some clarity and find the passion that fuels you and gives you that tenacity to really drive towards specific goals. So thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Let's continue to work together to defeat drama in our work and in our lives. And as always, I'm going to ask for the three S's. The first is subscribe. If you haven't already, please go to my website. Go to defeatthedrama.com, click on the podcast site, click subscribe to either iTunes or Stitcher, and subscribe so that you know when new episodes are launching. The next is submit. If you haven't done a review, I'd really appreciate it. Submitting reviews helps other people find the podcast more easily. And the last is support. Support this mission. I really am on a mission to defeat the drama in our work and our lives so we can be who we were made to be and do what we were put on this earth to do. So if you would like to tell others, I would be really appreciative. So share it on your social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, email, talk on the phone, do the old-fashioned thing of having a conversation face to face, and share the information about this podcast and share that they can go and listen to. As always, all this information is in the show notes by going to defeatthedrama.com, click the podcast site, and find the episode.